Welcome to the Camera Dojo Podcast, episode number 9 for July 1st. And getting ready for a happy Independence Day, 4th of July out there. So what should we talk about? Like how to take firework pictures, as if that's not going on enough on the net this week? Boring. Everybody's talking about that. So this is Kerry Garrison, your host, with my good friend David Esquire from Esquire Photography.
Hi.
Okay, then. So today I think we're going to talk about a few things that have been going on, things that we've been working with, things that we've been doing, just kind of bring people up to speed. Last week I was the judge for the DIY photo contest, and that's what the podcast was all about. So this week we're going to get caught back up again on what each of us are doing. And what have you been doing lately, David? You had a few weddings and shoots?
Yes. No, it's been really busy. It's been really, really busy. Been shooting weddings, been in post, been in a lot of album design right now, and just staying on top of everything. That's been primarily it. And at the same time, just keeping everything moving forward, having our meetings with the different wedding coordinators that are out there, and just having a great time doing it.
Excellent, excellent. Mm-hmm. What are you using for albums still?
Oh, gosh, that's really, really simple. I have simplified our album processing, and I'm now with Pictage, and I'm using their Willow books. They've got a new one that just came out that's very, very similar to Graphis Studio. And for the past 2 years, I've actually tried to work with Graphis Studio, but they have completely dropped the ball getting me samples.
Have you seen the new books from Kevin Kubota?
Yes.
They're
very
supposed
nice.
To be really nice. He's mm-hmm. brought all that equipment in-house into his new facility up there in Oregon.
Totally.
And the prices are supposed to be really good. The quality's been good. I haven't seen a sample yet, so I don't know if it, you know, how good this stuff is, but I'm hearing really good stuff about it.
Definitely. Definitely. And his work is amazing, and the actions that he creates and the influence that he has on the industry. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's
have you seen any of the books yourself in person yet?
No, not yet.
I can't wait to see those. I think those are going to be really cool.
Yes.
Well, one thing we've both been playing with lately is the whole set of tools from Honnell Photo.
Yes.
That's HONLPHOTO.com. And David Honnell is a really good photographer in his own right, and he's developed a set of tools to help other photographers.
Basically.
Yeah. And he's got a speed strap, which is kind of a rubberized Velcro strap that goes around the head of your flash, like a 580EX, and then everything attaches to that with Velcro. So there's a 5-inch snoot, an 8-inch snoot, the speed grids, and the Gobo bounce card.
Yes.
Which ones have you been using?
I've been using the Gobo bounce card a lot, along with the snoots, and I actually stumbled upon just a lot of different ways to use the snoots on a couple of weddings recently where I was doing some night portraits, and instead of just using your flash and having everything spread out in 180 degrees everywhere, I wanted to just direct the light onto the subject matter, and shooting at night, what a great time to do it. And it worked great for my couple when they were running towards me, running away from me, when they were static. And depending on how far away they were, I would, you know, would have a choice between a 5 or an 8-inch snoot. And what was really cool about it was that using a snoot gave the illusion of off-camera lighting, because you didn't have all of the space between your camera and your subject matter all illuminated. It was just the subject matter was illuminated. And in a sense, it was kind of like a little bit of a ring flash effect because the light wrapped around them, so you didn't have a whole lot of shadows either.
You know, I've been a big fan of snoots for a long time. And I did, you know, some cardboard snoots. I did cardboard filled with different flags in there. So I've been a big fan of snoots for a long time. I really like that look, especially at like a reception. It's always been a favorite of mine.
Totally, totally. It gives like a nice spotlight effect.
Now, the bounce card, one side of it is white reflective, and the other is a black Gobo.
Yes.
So you can either use it to add light and bounce light off, or to keep light from bouncing. Mm-hmm. So there's a time and a place for both. If you want just direct overhead light, you might point the flash up a little bit, have the black side facing the camera, so it's not going to throw the light at the subject. It's just going to throw the light straight up. So there's a number of different uses for that Gobo card.
Totally. I used it a lot.
What is it? It's about 3 inches wide by about 5 inches.
Roughly. Yeah.
3x5, maybe 3x6, something like that.
Yes, and it's industrial strength Velcro. I've gone from using a little 3x5 white index card with a rubber band, which kind of looks, you know, not only do-it-yourself, but kind of ghetto, kind of cheap, to where this has a nice appearance to it. The only downside is that it is Velcro. So during a ceremony, probably not the best time to use something like that.
Unless you're going to stick to it.
Yeah.
Literally.
Literally, but I'm bump. But like the wedding I shot out at the UCI University Club just a few weeks ago, amazing. You know, the angle of the ceilings in the room was just ideal. So I was able to bounce the light up to an angled ceiling and still use the bounce card. So I've got a little bit of flash. I'm bouncing it off. I'm giving it a nice three-dimensional feel. It was awesome. It's totally exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, and now his latest product is called the Speed Grid, and he's got quarter-inch thick and eighth-inch thick speed grids. And now if you haven't seen these, basically, if you've ever been to Strobist or some of the do-it-yourself sites, you've seen maybe a cardboard box full of black straws. And this looks just like it, but it's in a nice plastic case that's not like cheap straws that have been glued together. I mean, this is a professional box.
And it's really made well, too.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with how the quality is.
It's got two straps. So it goes right around the flash. It's so far, it's worked on every size flash that I've found. And what that's going to do is the light's going to go through the holes, and it's going to keep it from spreading. So where a snoot will do kind of the same thing and will help direct the light, you'll still start getting a small spread on it. The grid will keep that even tighter, and so you can really direct the light right where you want it without it going outside. So I like that for doing really dramatic side lighting. That's kind of one of my favorite techniques for it. And just throwing light on, maybe two people are dancing, and you get a really nice light on them, and everything else kind of fades to black around them.
Totally.
It's a great effect. So check that stuff out. It's at honalphoto.com, HONLPHOTO.com. We'll put this in the show notes, so you don't have to worry about it. You just go to the website. On CameraDojo.com, I've just posted an article about DP Magic 2.0. Now, if you're using a Mac or if you're using Vista, you probably don't need this because you can download codecs that will allow you to view RAW files directly from the shell, where Windows XP doesn't have that.
No.
So if you're using XP, the only way you could view RAW files is a program like ACD View or InfraView or Lightroom or Photoshop. You just couldn't see them from Windows Explorer. DP Magic allows you to do that, and it's $19.95, and this new 2.0 that came out is really cool because the previous version had that. It allowed you to see the thumbnails, and if you double-clicked on one, it opened up a viewer kind of like the Windows Picture Viewer.
Yeah.
But now it opens up like application that's almost like looking at Lightroom. You got the thumbnails down the side.
You've got a full-size preview, the EXIF data. It was all right on there. And then you've also got, what else? Your metadata was on there.
And the histogram.
Yeah, the histogram.
A full
totally
RGB histogram. Yeah, it's very cool. And they're going to come out with one called Mini Lab that's going to allow you to do some settings, but it's probably not going to make it out by the end of the summer.
Oh, and also on there, you were able to view whether or not certain parts of the photograph were either underexposed or overexposed. You
absolutely.
You could print from it, which is nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, I was really impressed with it.
There's two controls on there for underexposure or underexposure, and it'll highlight those sections if they're underexposed or overexposed. It's a really cool product. For $19.95, I can't recommend it highly enough. I've been using the previous version for almost 4 years. I mean, this is how much I like this product. And when I saw that there was a 2.0 out, I jumped on it the moment it came out. It's awesome.
Totally.
You're listening to the Camera Dojo Podcast. This week, brought to you by Lens Babies. To add that extra special romantic or dramatic feel to your images, check out the Lens Babies 3G Selective Focus Lens, only at lensbabies.com. So let's talk about new equipment. We both have some new equipment that we've picked up. I've picked up the Photo Basics strobe lights, and we got to work with these things over the weekend, and David came over to the studio today, and we did a shoot with them. And before I say my impression, what's your impression of them?
Excellent. I was really impressed. You know, they definitely impressed me with just how you could really dial in your settings. And with the modeling light that's on there, the releasing, it wasn't too bright. They don't get hot, which is so much of a nice treat. Definitely. I was really thoroughly impressed. And the construction of them, it was solid.
Yeah.
It was totally solid.
I'm very impressed with them. Yeah, they have a pretty light-duty light stand that comes with them. So if you're going to be using them in kind of a busy environment or a tight space, you probably want to pick up some bean bags or some weights or something to keep make sure that they stay solid, because you'll knock them over pretty easily. They're a little top heavy when you have them extended all the way up. But you've got a dial on the back that goes from a quarter power to full power.
Yep.
Then you have an optical slave, so once one fires, the rest of the other ones will fire. You have a test button, so you can dump the charge if you adjust it, or just do a quick test to make sure that everything's working right.
It's also got the audio beeps, so you know where you stand on everything.
Right. As soon as you fire one, you'll hear a beep. It takes about 2 seconds on full power for them to recycle, but if you're kicking it down to like quarter power, they recycle pretty fast.
Totally.
You're not going to be doing machine gun blasts, but, you know, I mean, still. But you get nice quality light out of these things. There's two models. There's the strobe light and the strobe light plus. And I'm working with the base strobe light ones, which are 150 watt seconds, and they have a 100 watt modeling bulb in them. The strobe light pluses are a little step up, and they're 200 watt seconds. They have the 100-watt modeling bulb, and they have a metal base so that you can torque them down really hard. So if you're putting really heavy soft boxes or something on the front, they won't have a tendency to sag over time. So that's a nice feature.
Yes, very nice. And the umbrellas were really made well as well.
I
was very surprised.
It comes with two white shoot-through umbrellas, which you can either use as shoot-through or as a bounce light in them if you're trying to diffuse that light even more. And then the third light, if you get the three-light set, is on a much smaller stand, and that's for use as a backdrop light. So together, you've got two. You got a key, a fill, and a backdrop light. And the whole thing sells for like $640 on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing price for this setup.
I was blown away, because usually that kind of kit is easily twice as much.
Yeah, it comes with about a 20-foot PC sync cord. So I plug that right in my Canon camera. I fire it. The main light goes off, and that automatically fires the rest of them. Of course, you'll be seeing a complete review of these things on Camera Dojo pretty soon, but I can't rave about these things enough. I've done several photo shoots over the weekend with them. I absolutely love them. The light is spectacular. They're so easy to work with, and the results, they're stunning.
They were. They're very stunning, and the light was even. That was something I really noticed a lot.
Consistency.
Yeah, it was consistent and it was even. You didn't have a whole lot of hot spots, and that was something that you run into with some of the kits that are out there, that if you're not spending a few $1,000s, that you get one light's a little hotter than the other. They don't fire on the same time. It's amazing. Oh, and then it has the don't they have the optical sync as well?
Mm-hmm.
Where it didn't have to be facing each other.
Right. One of the problems I've had using, you know, smaller, you know, kind of like on-camera flashes, but using them off-camera with optical slaves, is I would not get 100% fire rate.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so frustrating that I started going wireless. And, so I kept thinking that I was going to have to spend about $1,000 in something like Pocket Wizards to get the effect I wanted. And, you know, even the new Pocket Wizards, even though they're come down in price, I mean, they're still like $225, $230
so.
A piece.
Mm-hmm.
And I would need four of them.
Four.
I need a transmitter and one for each light
if
I really wanted a complete wireless setup. Now, with these, the optical slave works so well, I need a transmitter and I need one receiver on one of the lights, because the other two fired 100% of the time off the optical slave.
I was impressed.
And now, you were talking about consistency in the lighting. One of the effects I really liked, because we actually did three photo shoots with guys this weekend, and what I like to do is put the lights directly on either side of them, closing down the umbrellas, and it gives you a really dramatic effect that kind of pulls out all the detail in their chests and things. But if that light isn't totally nailed on both sides, it's going to throw the shadows off one way or the other, and it's not going to look right. But I knew that I could go over and just manually set the output controls on each light to be the same and go over to the camera, take the shot, and I was going to nail it. You know, I might have to dial it in a little bit to get the exact lighting, but all
but
I had
still,
to do was do them both the same, and I knew the output was going to be the same.
Exactly.
The output was awesome. I'm so happy with these things. I think this is going to change the entry-level marketplace for strobes.
Yes.
At this price, I mean, it's unreal.
Exactly.
And their high-end kit, get this, the high-end kit with three lights with soft boxes, with everything that you need, an instructional DVD, a floor mat grid to help you place your lights, the top-of-the-line kit they have is right around $1,200. There's single lights that cost that much money.
Tell me about it.
Go check out the higher-end, you know, Calumet lights. These things are expensive. And this is a three-light studio-quality kit.
Yeah, they're changing the market, and it's about time. I'm so glad that there is a company out there that's, you know, similar to like Think Tank. Totally different product, but same principles. Let's provide a top-shelf quality product and not break the bank on the photographers that are out there.
Right, and I talked to Kelly, the vice president over at Westcott, who's in charge of the Photo Basics line. I asked her a few questions about these, like why did they do a kit like this? What were they thinking? You know, what's their motivation? And what she said was that they want to do kits that appeal to the people who are getting started, but understanding that they may not know enough about lighting to really work well with the lights. So what you get, you have this DVD that comes with it that talks about using a single light with a reflector, two lights in a reflector, three lights, background light, hair lights, snoots, and it works all the way up from the most basic lighting setup to the most advanced lighting setup that you can do with the lights. And these are tutorials done by professional photographers, not somebody that you have no respect for, or you may not know what they're about. There's four or five professional photographers on there who are using these lights in a studio environment, and you're seeing amazing results. So for them, it's all about education. If you teach people how to use something, then they'll be able to use it well.
Exactly.
And that's why we run Camera Dojo.
Totally.
I mean, we do it to help people take better photographs. Now, what also comes with it is this floor mat that you can lay out. It's not going to appear in most of your shots because it's on the ground, but it has one area that you can see where the backlight should be, has another area where it tells you to put the subject, has little spots around to show where to put the lights, and it has another box to tell you where to put your camera. If you follow the instructions, you're going to get a good lighting setup.
It reminds me of, like, you know, when you see the whole little skits where people want to learn how to dance, and the footprints are right there. It's like, okay, follow the footprints, and you'll learn how to dance.
Except step this, one.
Exactly.
Cha-cha-cha. Yeah. We joke about it, but you know what?
It's true.
For the article, that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I used the instructions that came with it. I know how to do lighting, and I have techniques that work for me, and I have things that I like, which are a little outside the box a little bit, which everyone finds their own style. But if you follow the directions and you follow the grids, you're going to get really good results.
Exactly.
And since the lights are good, how can you go wrong?
Exactly.
So definitely I highly recommend this stuff. If you're getting into strobes, you want to put together a home studio kit, the Photo Basics, it's a way to go. It's a way to go. I like it. And so one of the things that you're looking at is teleconverters. Tell us why you're looking at getting a teleconverter and what it does.
Well, it's a little less expensive than buying a 400mm, 1200mm, things like that. I've got a really sweet lens that's pretty much the industry standard. It's the 7200, the IS by Canon, and it rocks. There are times I'm finding where you want to be as unobtrusive as possible during the ceremony. And in order to do that, and without shooting with a flash, you need to be able to be as far back in that church as possible. And nowadays, there are a lot of people, and I mean this in the nicest way, because we all got to start somewhere, but there are a lot of people coming up in the industry that don't understand the respect or don't understand what it really takes to shoot in the different church environments, and they're all over the place. And so what's happening is that they're pushing a lot of the photographers out there all the way to the back, or no shooting at all, and that's becoming more and more prevalent in the industry. And with a teleconverter, you can have that extra distance. You can buy a little more space, so where you're just that much further back and still able to get that awesome shot that you needed.
So it gives you more zoom to your existing lens.
Totally does. Totally.
Okay. So what types of teleconverters are out there?
The one that I'm considering right now is the 1.4 magnification. It's the second gen on it, and you only lose a stop. So if I'm shooting with a 7200 2.8L IS lens, I'm going to lose a stop on that, which is okay because I'm finding more and more that I'm shooting at larger apertures anyway. So go figure.
Okay, so if you're using your 7200 and you're zoomed all the way in and you got a 1.4 teleconverter, then the equivalent that you're getting out of that
is about 280. Cuz if I'm at 200 and I'm zoomed all the way in, and I'm going to be, you know, jumping up to about 280.
So that buys you a few extra feet for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely.
The 2X is going to take you from a 200 to a 400.
Yep.
But
you're going to run into some issues. You know, there's, you know, you're going to lose a little bit of quality of the sharpness, and you're also going to lose two stops instead of one stop.
Right. Now, when you're shooting with that 7200, that's a 2.8 lens all the way through.
Yeah.
You can probably afford to go up to that 4.8, you know, 5, you know, f-stop range because of that lens. So it may not be horrible, but, you know, if you're shooting with a lesser lens, like the 7300, which is a 4.056, and you're at 5.6, and all of a sudden you're going to be
seven.
At 7, you know, almost 8, you know, you may not have enough light to use a 2X.
Exactly. And if you're shooting in churches, it's rare, unlike this Saturday, where the ceiling was pretty much like a giant skylight, which was a treat. But then there was a downside of that we ran into an issue with this light being split during the processional. So half of the aisle was in shade. The other half was really illuminated. It was bad.
Harsh.
It was really bad. So that's when flash came into the perspective as well. But, yeah, most of the time the churches aren't going to be bright. They're going to be dark.
Right. So you don't want to lose too much. And that's why going with the 1.4, you're going to not lose so much light. You're going to get some extra range on your existing flash.
Totally.
And you're not going to lose any sharpness or minimal sharpness.
Minimal
sharpness.
Exactly.
You're going to lose some. But if you're shooting with good glass to begin with, which the 7200 2.8 ISL is,
yes,
then you're probably not going to have a noticeable difference on the typical wedding shots, because these things are going to be printed on 4x6, maybe 8x10. Yeah. So you'll probably not see a sharpness difference there.
Nope.
At least not too much.
No, you shouldn't.
Okay, so on to technique. One of the things we've been doing lately, working with different models and brides, is we're finding that they're simply not prepared for the shoot. I mean, we're not saying this to be mean.
No.
But really, if you're going to have your photos done and you want to maximize your time and your effort, what should you tell people to do?
Go water skiing.
That's right. Right. Put it out of your mind and completely not think about the fact you're going to have your photos done.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm thinking, though, a better use of time might be to actually do your homework.
That's exactly what I tell everybody I work with. And I do a lot of homework on my end, and I really can't express enough to the bridal couples that I work with to do your homework. And the same thing with other photographers out there. Huge. Again, we all have to start somewhere. But get out there and, you know, pick apart what are some things that you do like about other photographers. What are some things you don't like about other photographers? And do your homework. The time to experiment and work with trial and error situations is not the time when you're working with your client. Do your homework. Get your gear set up at home. If you have to take pictures of your cat, if you have to take pictures of your little Star Wars action figures, whatever, I don't care. Dig something out.
You have Star Wars action figures?
Who doesn't?
All right.
Okay, how about the Matrix action figures? There you go. Pull those off the shelf.
How's she doing?
Yeah, really. Anyway.
And this is, you know, this is an excellent point. And I swear, though, one thing that has changed mostly this past year is we'll go to shoot a wedding, and it's painfully obvious to us that the bride has been practicing after watching America's Next Top Model.
Yes.
And that's great.
It's
that's
awesome.
Great. That's not a bad thing. It's funny because they'll strike a pose and you're like, I saw that last week.
That's right.
But that's great. You know, it's helping them to see what works well. And when they see it on other people, they can mimic that and get some stuff that's going to look pretty nice.
And they know how they look. You know, a lot of the bridal couples that I'm working with, the guys and the gals, I'm telling them, get in front of the mirror. Look at your face. Look at how your smile is. Get an idea of how you're, you know, what you like about your smile. What, you know, what do you like to do when you're in front of the camera? How do you like to stand? Get a couple magazines and kind of mimic, like you said, mimic those things that you do like out there. And then keep in the back of your mind what you don't like. And as a photographer, you need to do the same thing. You need to look at, you know, just different websites, get familiar with a lot of the people that are out there. The market has really changed over the past decade to where we've gone from an industry where people are like, no, don't look at the guy behind the curtain, to there is no curtain. You know, everybody really wants to help each other out. Well, not everybody, but the people that do want to help each other out do.
Now, we do see that the women are far more inclined to do this than the guys are.
Yes.
They'll watch America's Next Top Model. They'll look at Vogue and Cosmo and those things and get some ideas of you know, what they're looking at. Maybe if they're coming up on a wedding, they'll subscribe to a year of some wedding magazine. And so it's not that hard. So it's not that hard to get women to do the homework. They actually kind of enjoy doing it most of the time. Mm-hmm. It's the guys that are a little more difficult.
Well, and that's where you have to step in as a professional. Now, for me, I've got 2 years of modeling under my belt where I did model professionally for Ralph Lauren. That gave me the opportunity to understand what it's like to be in front of the camera, to understand the different poses, to understand the different techniques that it goes. And the biggest way to think about it is to understand your proprioceptor skills to where you know where your body is in space, time, and motion and how it is in pictures. And if you, as a professional photographer, whether you're a guy or a girl, can be able to do that pose or do whatever it is that you are trying to get out of your client in front of the camera, you need to be able to show them. And I would say probably about 60 to 70% of the time, whether it's the guy or the girl, I'm showing the couples, okay, here's what I want you to do. Sometimes they may not grasp what you're trying to explain to them, and understandably so, because they're in a really intense environment. How often do like people like you and I or anybody else or the regular, you know, John Q. public go out there and have their photos taken professionally other than going to like, you know, glamour shots or, you know, the Sears photo booth or whatever, or, you know, pictures at home for the holiday portrait. Big things that are going to be a lot more different, and people are going to be very self-conscious, very uncomfortable, very much not willing to do it, and you have to make it fun. You know, if you don't kid around with your couples in whatever way that is you, and you don't, and you're not able to be comfortable with yourself, the client isn't going to see that. And everybody that knows me, that's been out there on shoots with me, they'll know I'll lay on the ground, climb in a tree, swing, whatever. I don't care. And I'll crack jokes when I'm behind the lenses. The bride's mom this past weekend had 8 kids. And I kid you not, she didn't look a day over 41. She looked young. And geez, I mean, and I'm telling her this behind the camera, and her smile went from studio stock cookie cutter smile, here's how you smile in front of the camera, to this natural, beautiful smile with her and her daughter. And it was gorgeous.
Right. I mean, that's, you can't say enough about that. I'm going to tell you a little thing that I'm working on, which is actually going to relate to a piece that's in your pick of the week. And one of the things that I'm doing right now is I'm going through and I'm collecting magazine covers from different magazines. And I've got a folder for men and a folder for women that I'm putting together. And for the men, it's covers of Men's Vogue and Details magazine. And you're seeing pictures like George Clooney and Brad Pitt and Matt Damon and, you know, big guys, but they're really cool poses, they're really cool looks, and when you start showing guys what these things look like, they're like, yeah, I can do that. I can do that.
Yep.
And when you're doing, you know, several guys that, like in a wedding party, you've got the groom and his men, try to get them to do a pose off. You know, show them some of the things, get some basic techniques down. What I do, this is so funny, it's stroke the goat, you know, rock the baby, six guns. You know, I have names for these funny poses, but once they start doing them, then all of a sudden the ad-libbing and improvisation comes out, and you start getting some really, really cool stuff.
It gets out of control.
It can.
It gets really out of control sometimes. And that's when you really start to get the best pictures.
Right.
You really do. It's like, and guys can be just as stiff as the girls and can be just as stiff as the guys and uncomfortable. But when you are comfortable with yourself, you've done your homework, you know what you're looking for, and you're able to be more of like a chameleon in the situation and just totally morph yourself into whatever it takes to get the desired output from your couples and from your subjects, it's
right.
Going to rock.
And I think regardless of whether you're shooting weddings or whether you're just doing models in a studio,
yep,
or whether you're doing food or blades of grass, whatever it is that you shoot all the time, put together a folder on your computer of images that inspire you. Find poses that you like, find looks that you like, find lighting techniques that you like, or that you can reverse engineer and figure out how they were done, and put those into a folder. So when you're getting ready for a shoot, like the night before, you do a quick review and you're like, yeah, you know what, that's going to look really good on this guy, this girl's going to look really good in that pose, and then you start having these fresh ideas all the time that you're going to take those and build up on them from a base into some things that you want to develop as your own style. But almost every style that anybody has is based on a few simple techniques and, you know, lighting setups, and then you just kind of build on it from there. Find ones that you like, put them into a folder, and review them on a regular basis.
And you know what? That actually I want to kind of add to that because it's something that I've been doing lately. In my quest to lose the wedding cake that's glued to my waist that I've eaten over the past season, is that the time that I've been spending in the gym, I've got a folder on my iPhone of just pretty much a good collection of my favorites that I've done over the past season and a half, and I'll just rotate it on a just a variable slideshow. And I'll be on the cardio machine, and I'll just be listening to my music. But then I'll have, on my iPhone, I'll have a slideshow going, and I'll be critiquing my own work and looking at it for, like, what are some new ways that I could shoot my, you know, photos? What are some different lighting techniques? What are the things that I liked about that photo? What are the things I really thought I could have done a lot better? And just ripping my work apart, and at the same time, using it as a time to be inspired.
But also, you do a lot of time, and I do the same thing, at looking at other people's work.
Oh, yeah.
And not just your own.
Daily.
And seeing what things inspire you.
Daily. And staying hip on what's going on. Like, I will not limit myself to just American photographers, like the whole top 10 American photographers, for the year 2008 or whatever. I'm constantly looking at UK wedding photographers, Australian photographers.
Some really hot Australian guys. Right,
Jerry Gionis is just slamming.
Awesome.
I met him at a conference last year. He is amazing. He is cutting edge. He understands light like you wouldn't believe.
Check out his website. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's a good one. Okay, so we don't want to run too long today. You know, we're a little over a half hour. I think we should go ahead and move to our picks of the week.
Definitely.
And do you want to start? You want me to start?
I'll start. Why not?
Go right ahead.
Okay, somebody that I really enjoy reading about and just following his work, John Miralles. He's an amazing photographer, and he has got a great resource out there online for photographers. It's photographerstoolkit.com. Let me repeat that. It's photographerstoolkit.com, and there's a lookbook on there.
What's a lookbook?
The best way to summarize it is, like, there's different pictures that are going to... Gosh, how would I...
Well,
you know what? It's
gonna, like the Pantone
color guide.
It's like
the Pantone... Guide. Yeah, exactly. It's like the Pantone thing.
Color guide for posing.
Exactly. That's the best way to describe it. Or, like, if you're at, like, you know, Home Depot and you need to look at the different colors of paint, you know, it's going to be just like that, where it's just a little fan device, and it's got the different pictures that are on there for different posing techniques and different ways to get those poses. And, you know, I've been doing this for years, but there are times where I just feel like I can't come up with anything. And this is something new that I want to get. I've got Jerry Gionis' little pickpockets. I think they're great. They're just like a little deck of cards. But John's lookbook is something a little bit different. And not only that, but I think it's going to be something fun to where if I wanted to incorporate it into a portrait session with the bride and groom, it could be a game. Like, why don't we do picture number 183? And they'll just, blah, blah, or pick out your favorite silly one or whatever and just kind of mix it up. It's just one more tool to kind of, you know, drum things up. It's not totally over expensive, but it's not cheap, and it's not totally affordable. But
well, it's, you know, $75.
It's $75, but it's the way I look at it is time is money. And if I could be, like, in a pinch, or if I'm doing four weddings in a weekend, and I'm on Sunday, and it's 5:30 after the ceremony, and I've already put in three 12-hour days, I might be a little tapped out on my creative resources, where I could be going from the ceremony site to the reception and be flipping through it in my car at the stoplight.
Yeah, and this again is another good one to have handy. Pull it out the night before.
Yes.
Thumb through it. Mm-hmm. Just kind of go, you know what? I want to try something different. And there's a ton of pages in this thing.
Tons. There's a couple hundred different pages in it, which is so many different styles of, you know, posing. And the thing that could take your photograph from a good photograph to the money shot could be the position of the hand. And you may have an idea of what would be a great photograph, and then you see it in this little lookbook, and you're like, oh my gosh, but the hand is different, or the fingers are closed, or just the tilt of the head, and that could make all the difference in a client that may say, you know what, we're going to just go ahead and get a couple of prints, or a client that may say, you know what, we want that to be the cover of our photo album.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And what else does he have on his site?
He's got complimentary PDF files that you can download from different resources. But the key thing is, and I know we've touched on it before, contracts. John's put in a lot of time and effort and money with his attorney, and he's put together an amazing contract, and he's got some great ones on there, just not only for yourself, but you can also have contracts for your independent contractors. So if you're, you know, like the two of us, where we're constantly working with each other, or if we're constantly working with other photographers and their
assistants.
Yeah, assistants, exactly.
Bulls.
Yeah, bulls. you want to protect yourself, because the government is going to constantly try and figure out a way to make your independent contractor or your assistant or whomever that might be working with you as an employee employee. And if that can happen, then you wind up paying taxes. And there's so much other red tape that can be involved in it. Whereas if you have a contract, both parties are protected. And he's put a lot of money into it, having his attorneys review everything. And it's just such a great resource. So definitely check it out. It's photographerstoolkit.com. And I think you'll be really impressed with a lot of the stuff that's on there.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll put that in the show notes as well. And my pick, I keep hosing myself over on my pick this week because originally my pick was going to be DP Magic, but then I ended up doing a whole review on it, which is already on the site. So I decided that's not going to be my pick. So my pick is actually going to be, and we've already talked about it, the Photo Basic strobe lights. I am going to do a full review of those in the next week or so, and you know, I've got a bunch of photos coming up so you can really see the versatility that these lights bring to the table. But these are going to be my picks because I think everybody should have a good set of lights.
Yes.
And whether you decide you want to start at more of a, you know, an easier to use system like the constant lights all the way up to these really nice strobes, Photo Basics has something for you. If you go back to some of the archives or just do a search on Camera Dojo for Photo Basics, you'll see the original constant lights that we reviewed, I don't know, well over a year ago, a year and a half ago, something like that.
That's almost 18 months.
Yeah, almost 18 months ago. We did the original Photo Basics lights, which they're tungsten hot lights. And now, what that means is they're on all the time. They put out a lot of light. They're tungsten balanced, so they're not daylight balanced. So you have to change a setting on your white balance on your camera to get them perfect. But it's real easy to do that or use an auto white balance or a gray card or something to get a good white balance. But once that's dialed in, the fact that you're using constant lights means that the shot is going to be exactly the way it looks. The shadows aren't going to change. Nothing's going to change when you hit that shutter. It's exactly what you're going to get. The two disadvantages of using constant lights are that if you're shooting people, their pupils have a tendency to shut down and dilate out because the light is so bright and it's right on their face. Where with strobes, their pupils are going to be more open because it's darker and that flash is going to hit before their eyes have a chance to react. Second big disadvantage of constant lights is exactly why they're normally referred to as hot lights.
Yeah.
Now, the Photo Basics ones are 500-watt bulbs. Now, when you have three 500-watt bulbs, you have, do the math here, 1,500 watts of light. This is not cold.
You're basically sitting on the sun.
You are. This will heat up your room like nobody's business.
And then you could go outside and you can watch your electric dial just like whizzing around, you know, 3,000 RPM.
Now, if you're using the umbrellas or soft boxes on them, you can't get the lights too close to people because their skin will melt. And so that's kind of a problem. So you have to pull back a little bit. And they do get really warm. So you got to be careful about that. You can't touch them or you're skin will melt and fry and stuff. But once you get the hang of them, they're really great to use. Now, strobes, you know, have a lot of advantages in that it's very short bursts, so they don't get hot. They have modeling lights, so you can kind of see what you're going to get, but you do have to play with them and get it right. Maybe you need to get a light meter so you can really get it accurate on the first shot, or it's some trial and error until you kind of get the hang of it. The big disadvantage is that you really don't know what's going to happen when you hit that shutter. And it can take some people a long time to get the hang of that, of getting the balance right, because it's either overexposed or it's underexposed, and getting it dialed in just right is often a combination of the light settings, your aperture, your shutter speed, you know, ISO, and all that combined is what's going to give you a good shot, where you can, with constant lights, you set it, you adjust your camera until your meter says it's dead on, you take your picture. So strobes are a little more difficult to use, but the end result can be fantastic.
Definitely. Most definitely. And it, like you said, it's a lot cooler.
Yeah. for about $140 more than the constant lights, I think the strobes are the way to go.
I wish I would have had the opportunity to get the Photo Basic kits when I was buying my lighting kit, because I've got the hot lights and it does get very warm. It really does. And, you know, there's pros and cons to it, but I would have easily bought the strobes if they would have been out a few years ago when I got my kit.
Easily. Yeah. Now, I will mention one thing. I'm gonna talk about it in the review a little bit, but the original constant lights, the only real complaint I had about them was the colors of the light heads. They were a bright red, a bright yellow, and a bright blue, and they didn't have that kind of a professional feel to them that, you know, they just looked
inexpensive.
Yeah. And I mean, they were inexpensive, but, you know, you just didn't feel like you could take them on a pro photo shoot with you.
Exactly. Well, look at the business we're in. We're in the image industry. And like I consistently tell, you know, up and coming people and people that want to work with me is keep in mind, in the image industry, image is everything. And it's a vain business to be in. But the bottom line is you got to look your best and you got to look like you have the best gear that you can possibly afford. And the Photo Basics kit, it was awesome. It was a great kit, but it just didn't have that pro look to it. And, you know, it's when I see a person that's out there shooting with the best that they can afford, that's great. But there comes a point where it's like you need to step up. And
yeah.
You need to be able to buy not just the best that you can afford, but buy a little bit better.
You know? Right. And I mentioned that to the people over at Westcott, that was really the only complaint that I had. And these new strobe lights, they're black. They say strobe light on them, and underneath, I'm looking at one right now. It's about 6 feet away from me, and I cannot see the words Photo Basics on them.
Nope.
But I don't care because it's just the URL. I see strobe light in their logo on it, and I would have no problem whatsoever taking these on any professional photo shoot out there.
Exactly.
And I know they work.
They rock. They totally rock.
Well, I think we'll go ahead and wrap it up here. And David, want to make sure you give them your website address for them to go check out?
Definitely. It's esquirephotography.com. Esquire, like the magazine, no relation, and then photography.com. And definitely take a look. We've got a built-in blog. There's a full gallery that's on there. A great way to keep in touch with us. You know, you can sign up for updates from us as well.
Absolutely. And of course, I'm Kerry Garrison, and my website is l7studios.com. You can see my latest work up on there. Some of the shots we did this weekend using the strobe lights are already posted on there. And be sure and visit us at cameradojo.com for news, product reviews, tips, and a lot more to help you make the most out of your photography.